What up, bros?
What up, bros?
As you know, we are still on hiatus from our regular recordings of Run Meets World while we wait and support the actors' strike. But we've missed you guys and decided to jump back behind the mic and cover some shock free work. We present to you our mini series, Let's Make a Mixtape. We, of course, would love to hear back from you guys. But for the time being, make sure to support the strikers, the studios, pay your workers, listeners, enjoy. What up, bros, and welcome to our mini series, Run Meets World Presents Let's Make a Mixtape. I'm MC Siege,
and I am DJ Tony Coitus on the ones and twos.
And together, we are taking you on a trip down memory lane, reminiscing on those MySpace days, LimeWire downloads, and making the ultimate bruh-tastic playlist. Tony and I each will select 10 tracks that'll give you the throwback mixtape experience.
We're jamming to music exclusively from our formative years, spanning the 1980s, 90s, up to 2010. At the end of the episode, we'll share links to our new mixtape and let you, the audience, decide on who had the better mixtape.
Per Tony's special formula, for a hot no-skip playlist, our mixtape must include these categories.
Track number one, an upbeat dance number. Track number two, a mid-tempo groove. Track number three, power ballad. Track number four, dance track. Track number five, a catchy earworm. Track number six, a self-reflective bop. Track number seven, a funky groove. Track number eight, a deep cut. Track number nine, acoustic or retro vibes. And then track number 10, an epic finale.
This week, I have to say, I'm really excited. And I feel like this one, like, maybe spans the largest, like, gap just in terms of time. But we are talking about divas from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Honestly, this was the hardest one for me because really? Of that exact reason. Like, multiple times I was like, no, this person is from before the 80s. This person's after 2010, so I had to adjust.
For some context, a diva has many meanings. Mm-hmm. But the most popular form is a female performer, usually opera singer, who is extremely talented, but very imperious and temperamental. The distinguishing factor is that her talent permits somewhat uncouth behavior. You don't hear the word uncouth very often.
Uncouth. That's a polite way to say rude as fuck.
A diva is not necessarily difficult to work with. She is just very professional and has a low tolerance for incompetence. So
every black woman I've ever met's a diva.
I'm not gonna lie. When I was like, "What do you think of diva? What do you think of?" And I was like, "Black woman, like, command the room." But before we go into the playlist, TC, set the tone. Take us back.
Well, you know, when we were talking about topics that we wanted to cover throughout this series, it was kind of impossible not to see what's happening with Beyonce and Taylor Swift, and just like the major players in music right now are all women. And so we were just like, you know what, there's something to this that like we want to capture in our mixtape. So we decided to, you know, do that within our diva playlist.
Absolutely. And I could not be more excited to get started, mostly because I want to see which ones you have. As we know, this time T gets to go first. For those of you who don't know, when we are making the mixtape, we're doing draft rules. So once the song is selected, it's off the board. The other person can't use it. I hope you have backups. I had to like literally have what is it called? Like a tree of like, if he chooses this song, my entire playlist goes a different direction.
Wow. Honestly, I feel like this is the playlist that I'm the least worried about us having any overlap.
Really?
There's so many divas to choose from so many different genres. And then also it's like you choose a Whitney Houston. Well, we got 20 songs to choose from. So I really doubt we're going to overlap, but I'm excited to see.
Okay. You want to jump right in?
Yeah, okay. So one of the things that we talked about was this idea of defining a diva. Like, yes, we have the definition that you gave, but it can kind of be applied to, like, the way we use it in society could be towards someone with immense talent. It could be an attitude. Also, sometimes it's like a style icon becomes a diva. So there's many different ways to define it. So as we jump into track number one, the upbeat dance number, I could not let this artist not be on this playlist. And I'm sure it might surprise you, but track number one for me, Lose Control, Missy Elliott.
Actually, I'm so happy. Here's the thing. I'm happy for two reasons. One, I'm happy that you did not choose my number one. Because I was really like, it all hinges on me having this number one. And second of all, is Missy deserves. She just deserves.
She deserves
any and everything.
Everything.
All the time. And so the fact that you were opening up with Missy Elliott is amazing. What was the song that you said?
Music makes you lose control. Music makes you lose control. Yeah.
Let's go. Oh.
Sierra. The reason I chose that song is because it's like the most upbeat dance number. It's one of my favorite, like, you drop this at the club and like I'm on the dance floor. But to your point, like, Missy Elliott to me is someone who deserves her flowers, not just for what she's done you know, throughout that time period, but what she continues to do with music. She is an innovator. I mean, when I think about Superfly, like that first music video, I was just like, I remember me and my cousins, this was back in like the early mid-90s when all we did was watch music videos. And we were just like, what is this? It was so original. It was so unique. And between her visuals and her actual music, everything is just sounds like she's from a different planet sometimes. And I love how like she's in the future, yet somehow it's a throwback and somehow it fits in the moment every single time. So I had to give Missy her flowers.
I love that. It's funny that you say that because I remember not too long ago she got the Video Vanguard Award and I was like, yeah, how could you not recognize how amazing and how many iconic and almost like surrealist, Dali-esque music videos that she, it's like she literally made music videos an art form in a way that we just don't get anymore.
And in a way that I felt like she owned a music video space that was largely preoccupied by men. Not to say that women weren't doing music videos, but I didn't see a lot of female artists taking the risk that she was taking, at least initially. And it seemed like she kind of opened the pathway for that. So,
absolutely. Okay, my track number one, since you did not use it, and I'm so excited, is, you know me, I like to tell a story when I'm making these mixtapes. And so I opened up with one of the most iconic, the diva of divas, the one, the only, Mariah Carey, Fantasy.
Obviously, Mariah had to get on the list. Obviously. Divas
of all divas. Like, I was like, Fantasy, it's just like the way that that song opens up and then she just hits you with that high note and then the song drops and we're just like having a good time. We're driving around in a car. It's a sunny day.
That is the vibe of that song, by the way, right? Is driving around on a sunny day. I don't know how we all have that imagery. Maybe it's left over from the music video, but that's immediately the vibe.
No, it's just like that's the vibe of the song. And like it's just a fun song. It's a great opening track. And yeah, it's my number one.
What made you choose that song over her catalog, the rest of her catalog?
Again, in reality, when I was looking at this is why I said it was so important, because when we said divas, my mind said Mariah. And then obviously, it was like, well, which Mariah song? And just the way that that one opens up. And then you also know that one has a tie to a movie that we can't talk about right now. But like, I just think of that song and I was just like, it represents the 90s. It represents Mariah. It represents divas. It gets her signature high note. Mm-hmm. I feel like it just had everything that I wanted. Yeah.
You know, I have a Mariah song as well, but it's not that one, and it's later on in the playlist. But I do want to say this about Mariah Carey, that I feel like younger generations don't realize what it was like when Mariah would drop a new song every year of the 90s, and it was played nonstop. It was number one. We couldn't get enough of it. She was writing her own music. She was coming up with incredible like melodies, but also the lyricism within the melodies too. Like introducing like words like Everest, like I don't know, just like she used to always like put these big words within her lyrics and make it sound like super interesting and poetry. And I love that she's a singer-songwriter, and I feel like a lot of people don't understand that her hits are attributed to her.
Yeah, attributed to her. And like in a way, Like, I didn't even think I was going here, but in a way, she is like a mix of Ariana Grande and Taylor Swift in the sense that, like, she, like, her songwriting, her personality, her voice really define her. And she was the number one throughout the 90s.
Also, the one of the biggest crushes I had in the 90s was Mariah
I
Carey.
mean,
Oh my, how
again.
could you not? Jeez. That Honey music video, every time I'm done.
I have so many thoughts about that. But okay, let's move on to track number two.
Track number two, our mid-tempo groove. I'm going to go with someone who I consider to be a diva and who I know has been called a diva, both in the positive way and the not so positive way. Track number two goes to Miss Lauryn Hill's Doo-Wop That Thing.
I love it. So it's so funny that you say that because I'm not gonna lie, I had to fight to put Lauryn Hill in this playlist. Not because she doesn't have great songs. She has so many great songs. But I was like, if we're talking divas, if we're talking difficult yet talented, if we're talking someone who, when you book the recording studio, is she gonna show up? I don't know. It's anyone's guess.
Her presence is a
She's
present.
the closest. Yeah, she has the closest reputation to like Naomi Campbell in terms of, you know what? Like we booked her. We'll see if she shows. We'll see what
Every
happens.
time
Everybody
someone's
girds the
like,
loins.
"Hey, Lauryn Hill's doing a show, the Fugees are reuniting," I'm like, "Are they though?" And they're like, "Well, I bought a ticket. Did you know? You bought a ticket to what? To stand around for 4 hours? Okay."
Yeah, exactly. You again, when you go to a Lauryn Hill concert, you are going to be around other people who like Lauryn Hill, not necessarily to see Lauryn Hill. Very different things.
Two different things.
You did
But
Doo-Wop.
the thing that I wanted to include with Lauryn Hill was that this Miseducation album, which I actually have on vinyl behind me, one of my favorite albums of all time, probably one of the best albums of all time. And it again is another female artist who has an incredible voice. She was able to sing and rap in a way that was able to impress the thuggiest of thugs, but also like the vocal greats of her time, like Aretha Franklin. And she was also writing all of her stuff too. Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is the story of Lauryn Hill in so many ways. And each track is a different version of love and how love affects us in our lives. And it's beautiful. So in terms of talent, it's there. Attitude, it's there. Style, the hair, everything. I mean, another crush of mine from the 90s, it was there. So she had to be on my list.
Absolutely.
And this is also a one that is a great driving song too, that every time it comes on, ba 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 ba, I love the little Motown Philly-esque
Do, do, do,
do. Yeah, it has great harmonies. Boy, you know you better watch out.
do.
Them girls are only about
About.
that thing, that thing. It's so catchy, and it just it kind of is able to take the essence of those soul song from the 60s and update it in a hip hop way. So I love that.
Also, it's just like it's just pure poetry. It's been 3 weeks since you've been looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about the Benjamins? You act like you ain't him, then give him a little trim plus sweat. No, like
I quote that
I
song
just, but
every
yeah,
time.
he's
And
so fun.
if when my like friends who are girls are just complaining about like men and things like that, I was like, baby girl, respect is just the minimum.
Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't
I
been in
haven't
the
been
same
through the same thing in a
predicament.
minute.
Again, like there's nothing like a song where like not only are they giving you advice, but they're like, look, I am not better. Been there, done that, wouldn't do it again. Trying to help you out. So yeah. Okay. My number two, dancer, performer, artiste, the one, Janet Jackson, If. And again, if you're going from fantasy, just the I want to say it's guitar intro of If. Don't dun 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 dun
It
dun
has almost like
dun.
this carnival type of instrumental that goes on, and it sounds really kind of crazy. And then the beat drops, and you're just like, and you're already dancing before she even starts singing. And that song, I love it too, because that song is in almost like NSYNC's "It Makes Me Ill" in that way that you're like rap singing in a way when you do it. Yeah, I love that song. I obviously Janet deserves a spot on this list.
Day or night, night or day. All I have to say is,
if I was your girl, all the things I do to you. By the way, maybe. Janet's one that, like, you go back and listen to, and you were like, I was too young to be listening to this.
Oh, yeah,
songs.
Absolutely.
Too young to sing along.
I had a boyfriend when, like, I first started listening to Janet. It was during the All For You era.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I, like, loved it. And I'm just, like, all about All For You and Demita Joe. And that was all I had ever heard. And so I, like these poppy versions. And he was like, have you, like, is that the only Janet you know? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you don't even know Janet.
You don't know Janet.
Okay? You don't know Velvet Rope. You don't know Janet.
The Janet self-titled album, my mom won it from a radio station because she was, like, a number, like, six caller or something like that.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that, I mean, and also her, all of her albums I think are iconic. She's another singer songwriter. She is writing her music. I mean, obviously she had help, but she's just so, I mean, she would have these little interludes on her album of just her poetry. Yes. Like, I feel like God. Beyonce has taken so much from Janet specifically.
Oh, 100%. So many, like, Janet is the blueprint for a lot of the modern girls. Mm-hmm. Like, Mariah gave you vocals, but Janet gave you everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Dance moves, music videos, songs, mm-hmm. talking about self-expression and sexuality in a way that nobody was doing. Like, again, she came to change the game, and she did.
And she, again, does not get the flowers that she deserves. And
not at today. Like, she is not in the conversations the ways that she should be. I feel like anyone who knows the music, anyone who knows, like, dance and truly, like, has studied will mention her name and Mariah's name. Like, they understand. But, like, you don't hear her in everyday conversations the way that you would hope.
Because the way that people talk about, like, the string of Taylor Swift hits, you would think that they would be equally respectful to other female songwriters like that. But it feels like she's the only one who ever gets credit in our modern day conversation versus someone like Janet or Mariah who, like, their greatest hits album, they have to have multiple editions. There's, like, greatest hits number two, greatest hits number three. There's too many for one CD.
That's absolutely crazy. But I think, to your point, it has a lot to do with, like, I think you're talking specifically about conversations that young people are having.
Sure,
young
sure.
people are always going to idealize the ones that they know and that are, like, you know, centered to them. But anyone I said who, like, really takes that next step and, like, looks at music is going to be able to find Janet, like, on the first page.
Sure, sure. All right, so let's move to track number three, our power ballad.
Now, this is the one that I was like, I'm interested to see what you chose, because this is the fork in the road for my playlist.
I'm gonna tell you right off the bat, it's Whitney Houston.
Same. Okay.
Obviously, like, when you said divas, it was like, all right, well, Whitney and Mariah both have to be on this list at some point. But my number third track, my power ballad, is from the Bodyguard soundtrack, I Have Nothing.
I can't believe you chose that song. That was my alternative song.
Oh, okay.
On the
okay.
off chance you chose one of my other songs. So I think it's amazing. I just, you actually helped me out, but we need to talk about Whitney right now. But I just thought that was amazing because I was like, while I was going through the catalog, I was like, oh, this is a ballad alt. Right here.
Yeah. I Have Nothing to me is, I know that she has more popular songs and more popular ballads, but to me it's like, especially if you see The Bodyguard, this is the like, this is like such a stop the show moment. And don't get me wrong, you know, I Will Always Love You is an amazing song that is iconic in all of these ways. But I feel like I Have Nothing is a very, like, you know, it starts very subtle. She's like barely even singing. And then the chorus opens up and it's, you know, don't make me close one more door. I don't want to hurt anymore. Saying, I can't hit the notes, but
yeah, you can't hit that note, but you're like, you know, but
you know,
but again, that's another one where it's like, to me, like, I feel like I am looking at poetry,
mm-hmm.
Listening to poetry when I hear that song, you know, like, it's it's so funny because it's like from the movie, as you had said,
yeah,
but it's also, it just stands alone in and of itself. like that song lives outside of it. It's funny because it like references it and it like brings me back to that time, but that song just can stand on its own. And as you said, it, as a ballad goes,
yeah,
if you want to talk vocals, if you want to talk star power,
yeah,
I have nothing. Just like,
well, and wow. this is why, like, if we were to like have the conversation of top divas, it would be a hard conversation between Whitney and Mariah, because I feel like one of the key indicators of a like a traditional singer diva is that they can just stand in front of a microphone and everyone is going to shut up and just listen to every note that they sing. They're going to hang on to every word. I feel like, controversial opinion, in some ways, Whitney has a prettier tone than Mariah. She has a cleaner, crisper voice in the way that she's able. She has a lot of control over her vocals. Sometimes I feel like Mariah likes to show off a little bit just because she can, whereas Whitney is like, no, I'm going to make it soft and reserved so that when I give you the power, it hits. And I think she just kind of intrinsically understands that in a way that is just gifted from like another place. So yeah, had to give her her props, and I Have Nothing as my choice. What about you?
I just love that you did I Have Nothing, because that song, as you said, it's just like, it's a moment. It's a vibe, especially if we're talking power ballads. Mm-hmm. Power is in there. And then also, I feel like Whitney is the one who's actually known as the voice.
Yeah.
Like, Whitney's voice was iconic. And Mariah just has, like, she's a great songwriter, but like that note is her signature.
Oh, so, don't get me wrong. Mariah Carey is a phenomenal vocalist. But absolutely. I feel like these two are in a conversation of their own. Correct. And even like the Christinas and the like Arianas, like they're good. Don't get me wrong, but they're not in this conversation.
Absolutely. So because of your choice, you kind of moved my list just a little bit, just a nudge.
Just in a nudge.
Direction. But I am actually going to go with another ballad that I know that you know. This singer has a reputation, but honestly, considering her sisters, I also feel like she's one of the more sane ones. I'm talking Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart.
Son of a bitch! You took one of mine! Damn.
Yes! Yes! I told you, you were Mr. Oh, we don't have, there's so many to choose from. Wow. And I knew, I was like, I know our taste, and there are just going to be ones that, and Unbreak My Heart is...
It's a moment.
And to me, it has the same kind of, like, rise.
Sure, definitely.
That I Have Nothing has.
Yes. It's a very similar in terms of its structure, and the way that it allows the singer to kind of build up to that big climax moment. Damn, I'm so upset you took that song. It's such a good song.
Say you love me again. Undo that hurt you caused when you walked out the door and looked out on my life. I'm crying.
Like, she just goes nuts. And I remember as a kid, like, we'd be in the car listening to it and try to hold the note that she sings when she, like, you know, yeah, it's great.
Again, it's a fantastic song, and I think it's Diane Warren again.
Diane Warren. I mean, it's going to be hard to avoid her within the powerhouse. Absolutely. Diva, if you're, category.
If you're talking power ballads, you're going to run into a Diane Warren.
100%.
Okay, so track number 4. We're only at the dance track.
We're at the dance track, and changing things up a little bit. Getting a little bit more modern.
Mm-hmm.
My
mm-hmm.
track number 4, Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again.
Okay. I'm feeling good.
I was like, oh, I want a dance track by Britney Spears. I have a bunch to choose from.
Yes.
The reason why I chose Oops, I Did It Again, because there's an attitude to that song. It's like, yeah, of course you fell in love with me. Look at me. Like, sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you. I do it all the time, actually. Oops, I did it again. Like, oops, oopsies. So I've like there's an attitude to it. And then also, like, I don't know that Britney belongs in the same conversation as like the vocalist that we've been talking about, but in terms of every other category of diva, I feel mm-hmm. like she is there. And you know, it's kind of hard to deny the cultural impact that Britney Spears has. She was probably at one point more famous than everyone else that we've discussed on this list so far.
Correct.
So, like, even though her flame kind of burnt out a little bit faster than some of the others, it burnt brighter, I feel. So I had to include her.
Well, Britney is funny because she herself, as the individual, is on the same level in notoriety as Backstreet and NSYNC.
Sure.
And that is a group of people. And Britney was just Britney. In fact, every other girl who came out at the time compared to her.
Yeah.
And that is what's really, really amazing about Britney. And I, like you said, to me, not only is she diva for like all the many reasons, but she does not have the same kind of vocal range as the other ones we've spoken about so far, but she does have a signature sound. She has a signature voice. And I think that's really, really important. She's later on my list, but as you said, Oops, I Did It Again is an amazing song. Like, and it's also one of those things where it's like, it's an iconic music video again.
Iconic. Where
that leather tight red pantsuit is, like the thing about it, she is covered from head to toe, and it is still one of the sexiest things.
Of course, she's like a red leather cat woman. It's wonderful.
Absolutely. Okay. Also, the another thing about that one that I think is so, it's like funny and iconic and completely has nothing to do with her vocals, is the interlude, or like the little break the in Titanic, the middle of the song.
Like reference, yeah.
The Titanic reference, but in the music video, we're on Mars, but it also doesn't make sense in any other part of the song. Anyway. Like, it's just like this really fun little skit in the middle of the song that gives us a breakdown and gives us a chance to breathe. And you're like, why is this here? Doesn't matter. And that's, to me, that's the signature of like a true pop song. If you're like, why is this here? That don't care.
Well, it's also like we're at a point now where people are planning for the music video as they're recording the song. So they're almost like kind of throwing in things that they want to have. I mean, No Strings Attached is a great example of this. So like, I think we're just in that time where music videos are like part of the marketing package that you had to consider it when you were putting the album together.
Absolutely. Okay. My number four dance track. I don't even know if I'm allowed to do it, but I'm doing it because you didn't say I could. I was like, I need a dance track. I need something more upbeat. And if we're talking divas, surprisingly to me, divas usually have like a lot of mid-tempo songs or ballads, but like dance songs are very few and far in between. So I was like, I want to go modern. I want to change the tone. And one song came to mind that hit not only one diva, but two. In a way that I was like, you're giving me my energy. You've a nice transition from Unbreak My Heart. And that is Lady Gaga and Beyonce's
Telephone. Two for one, bruh. So smart.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. I was like, I need Beyonce on this list. But like Beyonce as Beyonce. But then also, Lady Gaga was an entire moment unto herself. And I was like, I would be disrespectful to not include her in here.
Sure.
And to your point, both of these are artists that had like an identity, a brand, a whole movement built like around them.
Sure.
And when they collabed on Telephone, that was game changing.
I mean, I feel like we hadn't reached Beyonce's peak when the song came out. Like she was just about, like this was before Lemonade, right?
Yeah, this was way before Lemonade.
Yeah, way before Lemonade.
Way.
But it was just like, it was such a dancey track. I love that you chose this. Lady Gaga is the perfect diva to choose for a dance number because all of her songs are mostly upbeat. Vocally, I don't know that she compares to Beyonce, but you don't even notice it on the track because it's so well produced. And yeah, iconic music video as well.
The lyrics, stop calling, I don't wanna
stop Call and stop calling. I don't wanna think anymore.
Think anymore. Thank you. I don't know why. Yeah. I couldn't think. I left my phone and my heart on the dance floor.
Lady Gaga just made dance floor songs. You know what's so funny? Yes. You know, on TikTok right now, there's this thing going around where they're like, you know, the clubs are dead. Like, have you seen these on TikToks where it's like everyone's complaining that it's just bottle service and like people standing around drinking, no one's dancing. And I'm like, no one's making dance songs anymore. I remember you go to the club, you hear that P. D. Pablo, you hear that Lady Gaga, like you were rushing. T-Pain made you go to the dance floor. They just don't make dance music like that anymore.
Absolutely.
Drake if you music want, is all like hookah bar music whenever exactly. I hear Drake. Like, I don't like it. I can't do it. But I feel like Lady Gaga was a part of the reason why our college experience was so much absolutely. Fun going to clubs was because of her.
Call all you want and no one's home and you're not going to reach my telephone. Out in the club and I'm sipping that bub and you're not going to reach my telephone. my telephone. Also, like when cell phones were getting big. Yeah. So like having a song about telephones was actually smart in and of itself.
Love it.
We had so many songs on our phones. It's hilarious. Okay. So we are now at track number 5, Catchy Earworm. And I'm very interested in this. I'm very, very interested.
Well, it's so funny that you had Lady Gaga and Beyonce as your track number 4. Track number 4. My track number 5. Also Beyonce, and it's Love on Top.
Oh, you okay. Interesting choice. Tell me how you chose that.
Now, wait a second. I'm asking you this. Love on Top, Telephone, are these post 2010?
I'm gonna say, first of all, hold on 1 second.
Because I feel like all of Lady Gaga's post 2010. I'll allow it for today. Like
no, it's 2009. I was like, I looked at it. But yours is actually outside. It's 2011. So switch it up, sir.
Ooh, okay.
You gotta switch it. This is why you have backups.
But I don't want to back up that one. Okay.
Sorry. All right. Rules.
I'm going to change it to Crazy in Love by Beyonce. How about that?
Okay. Good.
All right.
Good.
Okay. I wanted a Beyonce song. I wanted something that was going to be something that you'd want to sing, something that would be a great karaoke number. And I've actually done Crazy in Love. I've done Love on Top for karaoke. So I know that they're very singable songs. But I had to include Beyonce. Like, obviously, like, there's literally not like a diva currently that's doing what she does. Like, I'm down to have the Beyonce versus Taylor discussion with anyone who wants to and tell you why Beyonce is better. But like, clearly she is just in a league of her own right now. And like, it's hard to compare her to anyone but like MJ. So
yeah,
it's really impossible to have a diva comp that doesn't have Beyonce featured on it. So I had to give her flowers.
Yeah. And then that whole dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. It's dun. Such a catchy like love it. The chorus is super catchy.
I've got you going so crazy right now and your kiss got me going so crazy right now.
Unfortunately, it does have Jay-Z on it, but we'll overlook that and just focus on Beyonce.
And it's also become like a signature of hers. Like, again, that portion of Homecoming.
Oh yeah.
It is, not only does she slow it down a little bit and we get to vibe with the band, but also like that, like for those who've seen it, the Crazy in Love portion of Homecoming is when she switches from yellow to pink in the visuals. And it's just like seamless. And your eyes are literally just like, how did that happen? Oof. And how is it all so in sync? And I love everything that I'm watching. It's like a treat for the eyes. The song, iconic. I love it.
It's also, I believe she has a slowed down version for the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack, which is amazing as well. So she has a ballad cover of her own song, Girl.
Of course she does. Okay. So if we're talking my track number 5, Catchy Earworm. This was interesting, and I'm going to go a little controversial. Like, not that controversial, anyone who knows music, but a little controversial in the sense that for Earworm, I was like, there's a song that is almost like a definition of an earworm. It like calls itself an earworm, but it also has a pop diva who has been around since the 80s and doesn't always get brought up. In fact, a new person, a new, let's say, icon of modern pop culture tried to take her brand, and she came in and was like, no, that's me, been here, gonna be here, and this year alone came out with another earworm. I am talking about Kylie Minogue's Can't Ooh. Get You Out of My Head.
Throwback. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
La, la, la. La, 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 la.
Can't get you out of my head.
Again, I was like, it's like earworm. It's literally saying, can't get you out of my head.
I feel Love like they it. Play this song at the club at clubs to this day, by the way. Oh, like, yeah.
Again, and it's a good song. The la-las are just like ingrained. And it's one of those songs where like sometimes I get upset hearing it because I know I'll be saying it like 3 days later.
Sure, sure. You know what? I'll say this about Kylie Minogue in that, you know, she is a international artist. I feel like Can't Get You Out of My Head is kind of the only song that I personally remember like being up like on the radio or seeing music videos for. That music video was on nonstop. It was very iconic. I can't think of a lot of other Kylie Minogue songs, but that's not to say that she doesn't belong in the category. I'm just admitting my own ignorance to her catalog.
I think there is one song in particular that you are forgetting about. And that is Locomotion.
You right.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby.
Do the locomotion.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So, and then also let me, like, from that album alone, let me see. Kylie Minogue had...
You know, while you're looking that up, can I just say this about Kylie Minogue, which I think is part of the reason why she belongs in this conversation? Because I feel like, you know, divas are attaching themselves to different genres. We have rap divas, we have soul divas. I feel like Kylie Minogue was the first person to be like, hey, EDM, house music, like dance, like that's my bag. And like, there was people who came after her, like Lady Gaga, I feel like is a perfect success for her, a successor of hers.
Yeah.
Same with Robin, like, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking Robin.
And so like, I feel like she was the first one to kind of own that space and really make it a space where a female vocalist can really shine as well. So I think that she definitely deserves to be a part of the conversation.
Absolutely. I think so songs that also are on that album, Love at First Sight, which I know you've heard, because it was also played everywhere. And Come Into My World.
Come Into My World.
Come Into My World was another one. Like, again, it was played all over. If you heard it, you know it. But trust me. Yeah, those are just, and that was just from that album. Again, and you were like, oh, I don't really know that many songs that are played on the radio. You're clearly not a gay man, because for most gay men, especially this year, she's just come out with the song Put'em. And it's a song that, it's kind of, the song is the equivalent of the Nicole Kidman AMC thing.
We come to where, this place for magic.
Exactly. Well, Put'em came out and everyone was like, what is this? What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And then after like a week or so, we were all like, Put'em.
Alright, I'll have to check
that out. Okay, cool.
Selling it as the Nicole Kidman AMC version of a song is the thing that makes me intrigued the most.
Absolutely, so excited. Okay. Hey, track number six, tell me what we got.
Track number six for me is, I mean, obviously, I'm a little disappointed that one of mine got taken already, but it is what it is. my track number six, my self-reflective bop, is a person we've had on our playlist already, or your playlist already, Miss Janet Jackson. And it's Together Again.
Oh, good one. Good. Like, I'm not going to lie. Track number six, I had so many alts with Janet. Specifically. She has a lot of really good, like, sunshiny, bright, reflective songs. Alts for this one for me were Someone to Call Me Lover, Doesn't Really Matter, you know, like all of those, like they have like the same kind of like just bright cheeriness to them. But I think Together Again is a really good Janet.
There are times when I look above and beyond. There are times when I feel your love around me,
baby.
It's just so good.
Everywhere I go, everywhere I see.
It's so catchy. It's just like kind of a chill song. But, you know, the reason why I love Janet is because, you know, I maybe in the same category as Britney in terms of not having the vocal ability as some of her other contemporaries, but writing songs that fit her voice so well that you're never feeling like you're lacking on vocals from a Janet song. In fact, I feel like Janet was one of the first pop artists to kind of create that genre of music, which is like, hey, we want a song that's easy for other people to sing along with.
Yes.
Like that critique that Jessica Simpson got, where it's like, you need to simplify your vocals so that your audience can sing along with it. I feel like Janet was one of those people who would consistently give you, you know, there's others. There's Aaliyah, there's Maya. Like,
yeah,
there's people, or even Brandy, where it's like, and you're not necessarily the Aretha, but your voice is very beautiful, and if we find the right song to fit your voice, it's going to be smooth like butter. And so that's what you get from Janet Jackson.
And I feel like she was always able to find that song.
100%. You know what I mean? I mean, like, she was writing to her voice, you know?
Yeah, which not a lot of people can do, unfortunately.
Not at all.
And I like the thing about, it's funny, I just went to the Keith Haring exhibit today at the Broad in LA. And so to know that this song was a tribute for one of Janet Jackson's friends who had recently died from AIDS. Mm. It's like, this is the definition of like a bittersweet song.
Sure, sure. Well, absolutely. And then we're also kind of touching on another key staple of a diva, which is embrace in the LGBTQ community. Like, that seems to be something that like every diva falls into at some point or another.
You got to. You got know who's to. Keeping you around?
Exactly.
Girls and the gays.
And again, it's like, that's who is not only keeping you around, but keeping you relevant, keeping you like pushing yourself to the cutting edge to do something new and innovative. I mean, we saw Renaissance was an entire dedication to this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought that was really beautiful too.
Okay. I kind of feel pressured to change my number six, all things considered.
Don't.
But you know what? It is what it is. I made this playlist with everything that I had in mind. This number six spot could be replaced by someone who I would say deserves to be here, but didn't make my list. She was one of her competitors, so to speak, vocally, but I want to say someone who's also already been on our list, the one Britney Spears with okay. Baby One More Time.
Of course.
<Da-na-na. laughs>
It's such a classic song. This song I love because in the similar vein to I Want It That Way, the song kind of doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, yes. Really, from a lyrical perspective, just doesn't really make that much sense, but it doesn't matter. It's more about how fun it is to sing along to. You're kind of on board with it. I don't know what she's meaning when she says hit me baby one more time. Is it like hit me up?
Like, I think that's what it is. It's like hit me up.
Amazing music video. Amazing music video.
Iconic.
Iconic.
My loneliness is killing me. And I like I've had something it's like that best, and I like
and I still believe. You know what? I have to say this. As an adult, thinking about how often, like what that music video was and like how it was played out, it's a little creepy. It's a little creepy like, to just have like this underage girl like dancing around in her like Catholic schoolgirl outfit, like purposely provocative. I don't know that as an adult, like I'm able to take in that music video as purely as I was as a child. But as a kid, I was just like, oh my God, I'll do anything for this woman.
Well, the thing about Britney that was like we're going to have this conversation right now. The thing about Britney is Britney was, you want it, but you can't have it. Like that was her sex. Like, and not in favor of it, but it was like the barely legal sexy. It was just kind of like,
rape culture.
Schoolgirl outfit. It was the, yeah, I mean, absolutely. But it's like, remember, covered head to toe in the red, oops, I did it again outfit, but like oozing with sex appeal.
Definitely.
And that was her whole brand. And the thing about Christina was that Christina just gave it to you, and everyone was like, I mean, thanks, but... And it's really sad because, like, I always look at it and I'm just like, the thing about Christina is she was like, all right, I'll just, like, sex it up a little bit more. And everyone's like, I mean, thank you, but we're going to go over here.
Yeah.
And it's the tale as old as time. Feels so bad, but...
I feel like both Brittany and Christina, but probably more so Brittany, is someone that if you were to go on, like, a YouTube wormhole, you would find a bunch of, like, TV show hosts and random people being like, can't wait till she turns 18. Like,
oh, that very creepy. Very,
like, I feel like with Brittany specifically, it was like very, like, it wasn't behind a closed door. It was constantly just like
asking her if she was a virgin still. Because that was like her always, brand when she came out. It's disgusting and disruptive, and we did not need it. But it's also a very good reminder of the times we were in.
It's like we have to deconstruct it at some point, right, guys?
you know, an alt for me for this, just because we mentioned it, and I said she's not on my list, is Christina Aguilera's What a Girl Wants. I also felt like very poppy, very fun, and just like I wanted to mention it because I feel like Christina always fought for that role, and she had the voice and the power, but she never quite.
If I'm being real, the reason why Christina's not on my list is not because of a lack of vocal ability. I feel like she never really had a grasp on her brand. It felt like every album she was trying to catch up to something else that was going on. She wasn't really leading the way at all. And I also, like, truly, like, going back, I don't know that she has the catalog that can compete with some of the other people on my list. Like, I love Genie in a Bottle. I love Come On Over. Like, she has great songs. But are they better than, like, these other songs?
I mean, here's the thing. I feel like we want to talk about it. She has eras. Like there's
she has
like
Christina eras. Yeah.
For sure. I just feel like she, to your point, I felt like anything Christina did, Britney did better. Like, you know?
We're going to get so many angry Christina Aguilera fans after this, by the way.
I love Christina. I do. Like, I'm just, like, you know, my opinion.
Yeah, okay. I will say that, like, Reflection, fantastic. Yes. Beautiful. Amazing. Like, she has good songs. It's just
Beautiful is another, like, really good. And also dirty's really fun.
Dirty's fun. I love the music video as the teenage boy, but like, I feel like that was the thing. Like, even now it feels kind of cheap to me because it feels like it was pandering to a bunch of horny boys.
I don't know. I want to watch it again because, like, when I watch it, to me it is, I remember it being like just disgustingly dirty. Like, yeah, it was like dirty, but it was also just kind of like which is so funny. Sorry you guys, we're going on a tangent on this. But like, when you compare her Dirty music video where she is just like in a boxing ring in a basement somewhere and it's just like filth. Like, that's her, like, dirty.
Yeah.
To Britney's I'm a Slave for You, which is just as sweaty and high, but it's on a rooftop and it's so like a fun sexuality.
I felt like there was a lot of music videos when we were a kid that was just people like dancing in really hot, sweaty places, and it was supposed to be sexy. But now as an adult, I'm like, there's a funk from my screen, like, looking at this. No.
Hey, everyone says they miss the dance floor. This is what dance floors were. A bunch of people in hot rooms. And again, I think it's also a little post-COVID of it all, where you're like, you want me in a room full of people with limited air circulation? Mm-mm.
Also, they posit this place where it's like all supermodels who are sweaty and hot, not just like the actual normal public shoved into a room sweating. It's like, I feel like I'm in the line at Disney. This isn't the same.
I love it. Okay.
Funky Groove, track number 7.
Number 7. Ah, okay. I'm excited to hear what your track number 7 is. Because mine, I'm actually very proud of.
I had a hard time choosing this one because there were so many artists that I wanted to include that, like, I'm getting to the end of the playlist here, so I had to make some rough decisions. I'm giving it to Rihanna, Umbrella. I just felt like Rihanna deserved to be on this playlist. I love that she kind of represents like this Afro-Caribbean type of vibe amongst the other divas on our list. She is someone who loves to create a dance song. Obviously, we haven't gotten new music in forever. Riri, we still waiting.
And you won't. and you won't keep waiting.
I'll keep waiting. But yeah, she just to me, like, I think if we go back and we look at her catalog, we'll see that, like, wow, she really did come out with hit after hit for a while, especially in that, like, recession pop era that we always talk about, of like 2008 to like 2012. She just, like, was a major player throughout that.
Absolutely. Rihanna is also one where it's just like her diva status is kind of met not only from her, like, iconic looks and her vocals and her different eras that she's had, but also her attitude. Like, her Rihanna's attitude is all, like, there's a very famous meme of, like, Rihanna giving someone money where it's just like, here, and she's just like walking by, and it's just like, that's Rihanna's whole attitude. It's just like, look, just take it, leave me alone.
I've never met Rihanna, but I know that there's something that's so, like, mysteriously alluring about her, because there's not a single, like, male celebrity that I've seen in a room with Rihanna who hasn't been trying to hit on her actively. And I'm just like, wow, everyone's throwing it at this woman. There is something that's happening here that is probably more than what's coming through on the video screen or something.
Well,
like that.
Not only that, but, like, she's beautiful woman, very intelligent. But again, I think it's she knows the air that she breathes.
Yeah.
Is rare, and she knows that to be in her presence is a privilege.
Yeah.
And, like, there's just something about that kind of confidence that just draws everyone to you. And again, the way she moves throughout the world is just like, I don't know, I deign to show up.
Yeah.
Be grateful. I can go home at any moment.
And it was hard to pick one, but I think Umbrella's maybe her biggest, like, pop hit, I would say.
Umbrella's a really good one. Again, you know, for someone who doesn't like Jay-Z, you put him on this list twice.
Is he on the original too? I thought he was just on the remix, but maybe. I don't know. But yeah, you know, what's it? In the sunshine, we shine together. Won't you, I'll be here forever. Said you'll always
be a friend.
It's so good. And so, like, it's a catchy song. It's an amazing music video. Ugh, fuck, ignore Jay-Z again. But yeah, she's great.
I love it, and I love Rihanna. And you're right. She was another, like, diva where I was like, if we're talking modern pop divas, Rihanna would absolutely make the list.
And one thing we have to mention too is that we talked about style being a pillar of being a diva. Fenty is one of the biggest brands in the world right now. So, like, she is in her own league when it comes
to that. It's actually really funny because when you look at it, she was someone who, like, if you see, like, where she began with, like, SOS.
Yeah.
To where she went when she was able to, like, take over her own brand.
Sure.
It's just, like, we were lucky that she was able to have that kind of, like, creative control.
100%.
And really, really just honored. And yes, I'll
to be honest, I kind of wrote her off when SOS came out. I was just like, oh, this is just kind of, like, one of those, like, you know,
Christina Milian-ish.
Yeah, definitely. It felt more like a... like maybe a song that Jennifer Lopez threw away. But then, you know, obviously the rest of her catalog showed up.
And Umbrella was a game changer for her, for sure.
100%.
Okay, so my number, what are we at?
We're at number 7, Your Funky Groove.
Okay, if you haven't figured out yet, I am a gay man. And
hold on, newsflash. Does your husband know?
Exactly. And when we said divas, I had to represent the gays. Oh. And if you're going to talk diva, if you're going to talk longevity, if you're going to talk attitude, you got to talk Cher.
Ooh.
And so I brought in Cher's Strong Enough as my number 7. Because I was like, is our last dance track, she starts off very slow.
I'm so surprised that's the Cher song you chose.
Listen to it. Listen to it. And Strong Enough, it has all of the classic Cher. It has her voice in the beginning. And it hits that, like, little drop beat, which kind of revitalized her career.
Yeah.
And the Tale of Oldest Time, like, she is known for her abusive, toxic relationship. So the idea that she'd come out with a song about leaving that and being able to survive and make it on your own. And again, to release it so many years later when she has done just that.
Yeah.
Diva status, diva song, Cher, Strong Enough.
I feel like this Believe album that the song came out of was her comeback album. In the same way that like Tina Turner had her major comeback album, or like Aretha Franklin had that Roses that China dropped in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
Like there were some of these like old school divas that were still like showing up throughout the 90s.
Yeah.
And I feel like Cher is the perfect like symbol of that, of just like, hey, we're not done yet. Like we still got it in us.
Like a running joke is like Cher's farewell tour coming to you again 2044. Like
she's never going away. I love it. No, that's yeah, I'm so glad Cher's represented. I did not have a Cher song, so I'm glad you threw her on here for us.
Okay, next song.
All right, so going back to my playlist, hold on. All right, now we're at the deep cut. I also had a very hard time choosing a deep cut song because there are so many mainstream hits that I like couldn't choose from. So what I did was I took a less like a very popular artist and did not choose her most famous song. I chose probably one that doesn't get as recognized by a younger audience. So saying that, my deep cut, my track number 8 is Celine Dion, Because You Loved Me.
Love it. Love it.
For all the joy that you're giving me. This might be another Diane Warren song. I don't know.
I think it is, actually.
But it to me, it's like it's such like an amazing diva song in terms of showing off her voice. It allows her to kind of build up and have a big, powerful moment as well. Obviously, My Heart Will Go On is like her most well-known song, but I feel like that song got so played that it played out for me. So to me, like, Because You Love Me, I'm able to appreciate as just a pop song, versus the other one has a lot of baggage from the movie and all this other stuff that's going on. So
absolutely. And I love that again, you did it right in my mind, where I was like, Celine Dion deserves to be on this list.
Yeah.
But when you were talking ballads, I was like, My Heart Will Go On is so played out. And it's so, at this point in time, it's kind of like cringe, not to any fault of the song, but just like at how frequently and in what places that song is played.
It shows up all over the place. It's a meme now. It's like, as soon as you hear that whistle on TikTok, you know that someone's making fun of this movie. Like, it's too much.
Exactly. So, Because You Loved Me is a really good one. And Celine Dion is another one where it's like, if we're talking vocals, if we're talking personality, like, and she's also really funny. She's like, her whole thing is she has like a reserved nature to her, but she's also really funny when given like the moment to do so. So yeah, Celine Dion.
I want to read some of these lyrics because I love the song so much. You were my strength when I was weak. You were my voice when I couldn't speak. You were my eyes when I couldn't see. You saw the best there was in me. Lifted me up when I couldn't reach. You gave me faith because you believed. I'm everything I am because you loved me.
Exactly. Ooh. Again, I've heard that song plenty of weddings.
yeah, it's definitely like a wedding song, but I don't know, to me it's just it like, if we're gonna have an Unbreak My Heart, you know, in the conversation, like this I think belongs in there as well. So
absolutely love it, I think it's a good one. Okay, so my deep cut track, like you said, there were so many divas to choose from, and so many, like most of them have really, really popular songs. Mm-hmm. So I, like, similar to you, I thought about this a little bit differently. And I was like, what if we do someone who is a diva to today's standards and back in the day, change the game? Mm. Not the greatest singer, but iconic and of the moment, and has only gotten more popular for different reasons. And that is RuPaul.
Oh,
Supermodel.
Brilliant.
You brilliant. Better work.
Have a girl.
Work it, girl. Exactly. Like for me, I was like, okay. So people need to understand that, like that was a big deal.
Sure.
Really big deal for a drag queen to have a hit song that everyone was playing, for RuPaul to be loud and proudly herself.
100%.
Just it was unheard of. And in a world where Drag Race exists, I don't think the new generation actually understands how sure. big of a deal that was. So when I thought, like you have said, it's like you were there. You had to be there in order to definitely. Really get this.
And the song was mainstream. I'm talking yes. movies, television shows, commercials. Mm-hmm. Every time someone had like a makeover like moment, like this is the song that was played. Like it became synonymous with like self-improvement in a way that correct. I think is really beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. And it's yeah. kind of like, to your point, it's kind of like up there in the halls of like I'm Too Sexy.
Yes, exactly. In
the sense of like, if you were going to show that someone was getting their act together.
Yeah. You were walking using, a runway, just like exactly. being a bad bitch. Like that's
you were using one of these two songs, and it's really funny because, again, RuPaul to be that famous in that way for yep. her talents, mm-hmm. absolutely game changer, and that's why I chose this song.
Amazing.
Also, takes like again, if we're talking like of the moment, 90 like supermodels. Of the 90s, the names that she lists, again, it's a time capsule almost.
It's great. I'm glad you chose that. That was a great addition.
Yeah.
Number nine is I kind of thought of number nine. Usually it's like our acoustic or our retro yes. track. I kind of thought of it as an excuse to throw in another ballad, like with the Divas.
I love that
like,
you said this.
There's so many ballads that I was like looking for places to put them. And so here comes my Mariah Carey song at number nine. I chose Hero from the Music Box album. Hero to me is just like an iconic Mariah song. I mean, all of her songs are iconic, but in terms of just like a power ballad, in terms of just like something that kind of like took on a life of its own, especially in like post 9/11, like I just feel like this song was kind of everywhere, and it kind of maybe got a little played out for a while, but as I go back and I listen to her catalog, I'm just like, this is just a great song, you know? So I obviously there was a lot to choose from. My All was really close to being at the spot, but I eventually went with Hero.
I love it. Again, Mariah in her bag, iconic ballad. There's not much more to say than that because we've already kind of like sang her praises.
And then the hero comes along with the strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside and you know you can survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you. To be yeah. sung at Filipino karaoke bars until the end of time, and I'm here for it.
No, like again, it's funny that I felt like was in a version. I don't know why. I don't even know if it's true, but it feels like it was in a version of every like kids movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's just like the whole thing of like realizing that you are actually the star.
Sure.
You know, like,
ooh, I like
it,
that.
It has like the I Believe I Could Fly.
It does feel you like a perfect companion piece to I Believe I Can Fly. And like this is the I Believe I Can Fly I can revisit and not feel creepy about.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So my number nine, to your point, I was like, number nine was the one that I threw in so many things. I was like, what do we have? What can we get? I needed something that took RuPaul's supermodel, which actually, to be fair, ends kind of like abruptly, but like also didn't overcrowd my epic finale.
Okay.
And I couldn't say it, but because I would give you some of my alts, first of all, I had Mary J. Blige's I'm Going Down.
I had Mary J. Blige's Can't Be Without You. Like, I had so many Mary J's that just didn't make the list for me. But yeah,
I was like, you know, Mary doesn't really have that reputation. Like, she's iconic, but I was like, she doesn't, like, I don't know. Like, she's a powerhouse. She's an icon, but I don't know diva, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I had Lauryn Hill's You're Just Too Good to Be True. Which is kind of like a little doo-wop-y.
Yeah.
You know, like a little bit of that. But because you didn't use it early, yeah, I chose to use it as my number nine, which was Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. Because when you listen to that song, it is almost a cappella.
Yeah. It is. It's just like, it's a very stripped down instrumental that just allows her voice to be the powerhouse it is. And, you know, growing up, I did not know the song was a cover. I thought this was just a Whitney Houston song, which is great because when Dolly Parton heard that song, she was like, oh, it's Whitney's song now. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And that was another reason why I chose it, is because it got us to bring in another diva who is very deserving, Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton, this is her song, but she let Whitney sing it. Whitney was like, thank you, it's mine now. And Dolly was like, you're right. What else am I going to do? As long as the checks keep coming, baby, I don't even care. And it just did just that. So like I said, for me, we've talked about Whitney. We've talked about the voice. We talked about like what she does with her ballads. And when you let it go, I was literally like, this is all dependent. If he chooses it, I'll let it be. But because you didn't use it there, I was like, this is actually a really good stripped down vocal focused song. And I chose I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
So great. I mean, from the Bodyguard soundtrack, and I feel like that song was almost like the commercial for the sounds for the movie, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Like, it really was the thing that, like, by the way, can we just talk about how fortunate we were to live in a time period that took soundtracks seriously, that
100%. Understood
that like a dope soundtrack could make a movie live on past its shelf life? Space Jam. Like, like, if you have a dope soundtrack, it really can go so far. And it was just yeah, I'm glad that like we lived during that era, because I feel like we don't really get that much anymore.
I completely agree with you. All right, so before we get into our number 10, give everyone a really quick recap of the songs that you've had so far.
All right, so my list includes Lose Control by Missy Elliott, Doo-Wop, That Thing by Lauryn Hill, I Have Nothing, Whitney Houston, Oops, I Did It Again, Britney Spears, Crazy in Love by Beyonce, Together Again by Janet Jackson, Umbrella, Ella Ella by Rihanna, Because You Love Me by Celine Dion, Hero by Mariah Carey, and I'm ending my track 10, my list. I have to be honest, this is one that I struggled with, because all of the songs that I went to put in this position, I was like, oh, this is past the 2010 point. Like, I had an Adele song, and I was like, nope, Adele. Nope,
can't do Adele.
I had a Miley song. Nope, can't do it. So I'm giving my number 10 spot. Maybe it's not the most epic way to end this playlist, but I still feel like it's a great song. No One, Alicia Keys.
Ooh, really? That was the one you chose? I mean, again, you know what? It's your choice. It's your choice. It's not a bad one.
It's not. I understand. Like, if I'm ending a playlist, I feel like this is a great song to kind of end on. It's very singable. It seemed to me like a great way to just kind of end the playlist. Alicia Keys, I think, is vocally very much in sync with some of the other artists that I have on my playlist. She does have other songs. I could see you being like, how come not Fallen? How come not some of these other ones?
Yeah.
But to me, Fallen isn't how you end a playlist. I don't know.
And that's why, if I'm going to be honest, I withdrew my critique, because I was like, Fallen is not how you end.
You can start a playlist with Fallen, and I considered it. But I was just like, no, I'm going to do No One. So,
okay, cool.
Probably her most iconic song.
I'm not going to lie. I think I got you at least with the number 10.
Probably,
I just feel I thought of my number 10. I thought of everything I've done so far.
Well, to be real, my actual number 10 was Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton, and I had to do some workarounds. So I planned it on ending big, but all right.
Well, sucks to be you, want to say. But I will say that my number 10, which, by the way, Unbreak My Heart as a number 10 would have been good had you got it, but you didn't.
No.
So instead, my number 10, an icon of icons. I don't think we've done her yet on this list. And in reality, if we're talking 80s, 90s, 2000s, she is literally what Beyonce calls Queen Mother, Madonna, and I am talking Like a Prayer. Because the thing about Like a Prayer.
You're right. Like a Prayer. That's it. That's the one you end on.
That's it. That's the one you end on. Because it gives you that transition from the huge ballad we just did from I Will Always Love You. And then you start off with the organ and Madonna. It
feels very epic with the organ.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And life then you just go
into... is a mystery.
Everyone must stand alone.
I hear you call my name. And it feels like
home. And then the choir comes in. And the beat drops, and we're there. And then I was like, "That it's a fun, it's a celebration, it's epic." And then it just kind of ends like with a little, like, quiet little fade away. Which I was listening to something the other day, where someone was like, "All '80s song just kind of end with you slowly fading away."
Yeah, slow fade away. Like a Prayer is my favorite Madonna song. Period.
Really? I think you're right. It's up there. There are better ones, but I feel like a Prayer really does capture everything that's great about Madonna.
Do you remember how big of a deal it was that she had a Black Jesus in that music video?
So here's the thing. I did not, because as a child, as we know, I wasn't really allowed to listen to a lot of secular music. Most of my music education is retroactive.
Really? Okay.
Really started after I turned 12. So like most of the things, anything before 12, I usually missed the like in person of it all.
Yeah.
But I was a very quick study when it came to pop music. And when you see that, you understand the context.
Sure.
Yeah. She was ruffling some feathers on purpose.
I'm on the younger side of my group of cousins on both my dad and my mom's side. So even though I'm a millennial, I feel like I was growing up with a bunch of Xers who would just constantly have MTV on. And so I was listening to music that like they were into all the time. And so like, I feel like I got a real thorough education of what was going on in the moment a lot. And I mean, even that music video, I was younger, but it played constantly on MTV throughout the entire 90s. Like, they would just, it never went away because it was so iconic. And so if you haven't seen the music video, I definitely recommend looking up the Like a Prayer music video, because, I mean, like I said, there's a Black Jesus in it. So you know that she wasn't playing around.
Absolutely. Again, it's a fantastic song.
You know who plays Jesus in it, right?
Yeah, I do. Leon.
Leon.
I told you.
Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. Like that,
Leon
Jesus
is gonna show up in some places if we talk in 80s, 90s. You just gonna turn around and be like, Leon's here.
That's great.
But that's the okay. So for me, Like a Prayer was definitely one where I was like, I needed some Madonna. I would like to thank the gays for helping me win this playlist. Because again, when I was thinking divas, I was like, every gay has their own diva. So that just kind of like helped them guide me to which songs. And when I
you were trusting the ancestors,
the gay ancestors, exactly. They lead me. And again, I looked at Like a Prayer and I was like, oh, that's how you end this playlist. So I don't think I did my recap.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So my full playlist is Fantasy by Mariah Carey, If by Janet Jackson, Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton, Telephone by Lady Gaga and Beyonce, Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue, One More Time by Britney Spears, Strong Enough by Cher, Supermodel by RuPaul, I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, and Like a Prayer by Madonna. Again, a very, very gay playlist, but I make no apologies because I feel like
we're doing a diva list. That's like, you know. Let me ask you this question. The top diva for you, if you had to pick one.
So here's the thing. As you said, I'm not in any place to pick who the top diva is.
This is personal preference.
Tell you who my diva was.
Who is yours?
Every gay has their diva. And my diva that I adopted, and that's the thing, like when you realize that you have feelings for other men, your gay is assigned to you. You don't even have Ooh. To come out. Your diva is just assigned to you in that moment.
It's like your wizarding house.
Exactly. Absolutely. Like, again, you haven't even come out yet. And then you realize that you may have interest in the same sex, and then they give you a diva. And that's the first step. And mine was Britney Spears. It was, and it has been. She's always been my diva. Now, Beyonce is adult CJ's diva.
Okay.
But Britney was the original. Britney helped me, and I will forever be a Britney stan.
I mean, for me, it's Mariah. She's my top one. I mean, I don't get me wrong. Like I said, I think Whitney might be a better singer, but in terms of just the catalog, in terms of just like the endless slew of hits and number one albums, like I don't feel like anyone compares. I also feel like her messy era is also a pivotal part of every diva's journey. Just to have an era where they're so messy and kind of cringe, like that's just part of it. So,
but like she's always been able to turn that into gold. Like Obsessed with Me. I mean, like, how can you even? And then her, like, the idea that she would have the audacity to be up on stage during New Year's and then just kind of like phone in and be like, look, the check ain't clear yet. So, like, like Mariah's always gonna let you know if she's in the mood or not.
I love it.
And I kind of like, again, we're talking Rihanna levels of like just attitude and talent. And also my husband used to work with her, and he's like, she's actually incredibly intelligent.
Oh, you have to be. Yeah.
Incredibly intelligent. But that whole ditzy thing is an act, and it always has been. And I think that is also very telling of someone who's like, oh, I'll give you what you want for me so I can keep myself for myself.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Before we wrap
bonus
up,
tracks?
What bonus tracks did you want to include but you couldn't find the space for, or maybe didn't fit within the parameters?
Okay, I have a list. There is The Best by Tina Turner. She's almost my end. I'm Every Woman. I was going to do I'm Every Woman by Whitney Houston, but then I Will Always Love You opened up, so I was like, I can't do that. Then I was going to do I'm Every Woman by Chaka Khan, another diva. Mm-hmm. But that was 1978. And I was like, God damn it. and I think I mentioned most of my other ones. Oh, there are just two more that I have to shout, or three more that I have to shout out. One would be X Factor by Lauryn Hill.
I just
didn't know where that went. And again, Lauryn Hill deserved to be on the list, so I'm glad she's on yours.
Yeah.
I'm Your Baby Tonight.
Ooh.
I was like,
whatever Whitney, you want from me, I'm giving you
I was
you
just like, oh my God, how do I not put this song anywhere? It's the one I listened to the most, if I'm going to be honest, when I was making this list. It just, I used and I grabbed what I could. And then He Wasn't Man Enough for Me by Toni Braxton. Just that was almost my earworm, because I can't express what that song means to me. I feel like that song is the ultimate diss track, and I just love it. I could talk about that song for like hours.
Amazing.
How about you? What are yours?
Yeah, a few other ones I had that I wanted to include, and I didn't know if they either fit the term diva or really I was able to find a place for in the playlist. How Do I Live, Leanne Rimes.
Yes.
Such an amazing song. I don't know if I would count Leanne Rimes as a diva, but I feel like there's country divas. Like, I was looking at Shania Twain.
Feel Like a Woman.
I was looking at Faith Hill. Like, there's a few of them that I was like, oh, you can come in here too. Also, I felt the same thing about rap divas. Like, I was like, oh, wow, I would love to throw in Nicki. I would love to throw in Cardi. They don't fit within the time period, but they absolutely deserve a place in here. And I felt the same way about, Miley Cyrus, We Can't Stop. Like, that was one that I wanted to throw on here too. And I was just like, really good. You're too late. You're 2013. So,
Just
and Adele, like, there were so many Adele songs that I was just like, oh no, you didn't even appear until like 2014. So, this doesn't work.
I love it so much. One more. And you know what? Honestly, I feel like we'll have to do another playlist that's just like collaborations. iconic Ooh. Collaborations.
Because I like that.
I did my Britney, sorry, I did my Beyonce and my Lady Gaga to Give Me Telephone.
Yeah.
But another one that I almost used as like a like slow down throwback was Heartbreak Hotel. Because we talking divas.
Yeah.
You give me a little Kelly Price, a little Whitney Houston and Faith. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, come together.
Yeah.
Okay, well, again, you guys, thank you so much for listening so far to Let's Make another episode of Let's Make a Mixtape. Remind you all to check out the links for the Spotify and YouTube. Vote on our socials who you thought had the better playlist. Reach out to us at Bro Meets World. We're still excited to jump back into season 7 when the time is right. But until that day, we hope to see you soon at Bro Meets World Presents.
Let's make a mixtape. This episode of Bro Meets World, Let's Make a Knit Mixtape, was produced by Siege and edited by Tony Curtis. Bro Meets World Presents is a 2 Free Tokens media production. Later, guys.